Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Gary. And this week we are going to be having a roundtable discussion. But before we get to that, we should probably mention the start of the baseball season and the hot start that the Dodgers are off to. They're undefeated through the first week of the season and playing extremely well. But the guys down south are playing pretty good, too, in San Diego, and they're also undefeated.
Yeah, it's Giants look pretty good as well. And I think it's going to be a tough NL West this season.
Well, the interesting thing about that is, yes, you are correct. I think I just saw it the other day, and it will be changed by the time that you hear this podcast, that they were 25-7 the whole entire National League West. An amazing start. And the Giants are off to a fast start. And our guys over in Anaheim are doing pretty good, too.
Yeah,
I was happy to see that. I really was.
Me too.
I felt like they had an opportunity to start the season because they weren't playing a premier team to get off and kind of level off and get some confidence under you. So I'm very happy that the Angels are. And I'm glad that Mike Trout is back and playing. I hope that he has a terrific season. I think the fans would love to have that happen. And there was almost a mishap on the very first at bat. He got hit in the hand. And I'm saying, oh, my God, are we going to start the season off this way too?
I'm really happy. I hope they can sustain this kind of pace, because Mike Trout, I think, is great for baseball. And he's been buried there in Anaheim for so long, you know, not competitive, suffering through injuries. And as he enters the kind of fall, winter of his career, I really hope that they make a run and be competitive.
And I'm very touched by his loyalty. I don't know if that's in his best interest long term, but certainly I think we'd all love to see Mike Trout in the postseason at some point in time. And, of course, one of the hot items in baseball is the torpedo bats. Unbelievable display that the Yankees put on in the first three games of the season, led by their all-time great Aaron Judge, who hit four home runs and had 10 RBIs, I think, in the first three games. So the Yankees are off to a good start. And, you know, I think that essentially all your teams that you thought were going to be contenders are off to a good start, especially at the high-end level.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the torpedo bats in the next segment with our brain trust, but it's like, why haven't we been doing this before? I mean, they look like bowling pins out there.
Well,
bats.
You know, it's another metrics technology, you know, trying to identify what we can use best that will help us. So apparently they found it. We're going to return to We'll See About That right after this quick message. Stay with us. Okay, it's time to take a walk over here to the Financial Coach's Corner with Brad Kreger. And Brad is recovering this week from the fallout of the stock market, and he just returned from the funeral. So how did that go, Brad?
You're obviously commenting on me wearing sunglasses. And, yeah, I'm recovering from some eye issues. I've got some drops that makes my eyes sensitive to light. So those of you who are watching this, I look like I'm actually at the beach. Wow. In any case, we've had some tough markets here for the last week, and I do expect it to continue. Don't see that it's going to abate anytime soon. Heard from the White House that this is not a negotiation strategy. This is real. We're going to keep these tariffs on to balance out the trade imbalances. I won't get into that, but let's jump into these charts. Let's look at the valuations. We're at the beginning of the month, and we want to always kind of look back and see where we're at. Although, please understand that we've given a little bit back since Tuesday, April 1st, the beginning of the month. This first chart shows us over the last 140 years that we've had basically four secular bull markets. The last one is here in red, and it started at roughly, 30% below the mean, and we're at 160% above the mean today. If you switch to that second slide, we can see that essentially what markets do is they move, they go up and down a lot, and you're going to see that markets are overvalued for long periods of time, and then they'll move to periods of undervaluation. If those of you that are watching on, following us on online where you can see these charts, this basically shows that we start well below the mean, or if let's say that mean is a dollar, that one black line is a dollar, we typically start these bull markets at 60% below, meaning with the average valuation is a dollar, we start at 40 cents. We're currently at $1.60 above, or 160% above rather. So that says that our current valuation is $2.60 when our average valuation of the markets is a dollar. Does that mean anything? No. Does that mean we're going down? No. Does that mean that we're going to see volatile markets? No. The markets will move based on sentiment and all kinds of other factors. But what this does tell us is that for the next 10 years, 5 years, 10 years, for a period of time, we do not expect outsized returns. We expect to see muted returns, very low returns, to come back down in terms of those average returns. Long story short, be protective of your assets. If you're moving into retirement, you might want to talk to your financial advisor about ways to protect your principal. Back to you, Ron.
All right. Thanks for that valuable information, Brad. And I hope that we're not as volatile as it may seem. So let's see where it goes. Thank you so much.
They still call me the Penguin.
And we are back. We'll see about that with the legend, the MVP, the champion, Ron Say. I am Mike Gary, and as always, thanks to our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa's a proud partner of We'll See About That. Be sure to use Ron's VIP code, Ron Say. That's R-O-N-C-E-Y, all one word, when checking out at melissas.com. They do great stuff, great produce, great gift baskets, all any for your entertainment needs or gift needs. Check out melissas.com. And as well as being joined by the legend, the MVP, the champion, Ron Say, we have the Brain Trust in here, the aforementioned Brain Trust. We have Corey Marino, one of our great sports producers here at CRN. Corey, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Very well. And we have Steve as well. Steve, great baseball fan, brilliant mind. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good. The usual suspects are in the studio.
Indeed. Indeed. So yeah, keep it safe, you guys. Don't get fired.
Yeah.
So let's talk more about these torpedo bats, Ron. I mean, I've seen that, you know, when I watched that, because I'm a Yankees fan, and so, of course, I turned into the first game. I saw Aaron Judge, a Ruthian display.
Yeah.
And I even before they kind of announced it, because I kind of had the sound down, I'm like, these bats look weird.
You know, they're just a bat that that used to be around a long, long time ago with a big barrel head. But apparently somebody in the Yankee office went through a lot of intense study about how to get more of the meat of the bat down in more towards the hitting area and towards the lower part where the label is, because they were looking at tape after tape after tape, as I'm told, and it suggested that the guys are making contact a little bit below the sweet spot towards the label. So they tried to center where the meat of the bat would be, and apparently it's working pretty good. They hit a club record 9 home runs in their, I believe, their first game. The leadoff hitter hit a home run. There was another day where they had 3 pitches in a row that guys hit home runs on. They scored 20 runs in their first game, I believe. So, yeah, they're off and running.
That's an auspicious start. What do you guys think about these torpedo bats, fair or foul? No pun intended.
I'll go. Got to see how it just works out with all the teams. I guess it's voluntary at this point. And I think that it's going to produce more hits, obviously. I think that you're going to see a lot more home runs. I think that's what Major League Baseball is looking at, because that's what the fans come to the park for, is to see more runs, more home runs, more doubles, triples, whatever it comes down to. It'll raise the, I think, average for each player as well. But you know, it's out there with a question mark, and it's how many players want to use these. And I think it's going to take some time during the year. We'll see what goes.
My immediate reaction was it had to be some sort of illegal just because it looked different and they're changing the bat structures. It kind of it's not Bush League, but they're changing the bat structure because the people hitting can't get it the ball where it's supposed to be on the bat. So they're like, if I can't get a hit here, let's move more of the meat down to where I get it. And it was I forgot his first name, but Volpe. They were like, this guy is a good prospect, and he's supposed to be hitting the ball really good, but he's hitting it too low, so he can't get the barrel around fast enough or in enough speed to where he gets in the meaty part. So they're like, hey, if it's legal, let's just move the meaty part and move it to where his zone is. And it'd be like, if I always missed right on a golf shot, I'd be like, can I move the golf hole just a little bit right every time? So I thought it was illegal, but they got the rules in it, and they said it was okay, and if everybody can do it, then I think it's good for baseball. But unfortunately, not like the Yankees' new stadium was already known for being.
I was about to say, yeah.
Stadium.
I mean, that's,
with that in it, it's just
it's
insane.
Like a little league park over there.
Yeah,
that short porch there in right fields. And Ron, I want to ask you, you know, as somebody who's hit over 300 home runs in his career, is in the top 100 of win of WAR all time. Do you think this messes with kind of the temple of baseball, the records, because baseball is one of the sports where, you know, the records are so important going all the way back to the 19th century.
The purist is not going to be happy about it. You know, they were unhappy when they, you know, switched from what was a 154 game schedule way back, probably near the 1960s, maybe. I think that's when Roger Maris was chasing Babe Ruth's single season record, and they say, well, you know, Roger didn't break it within 154 games. He broke it within that 8-game span that went over the top. we've been doing that for a long time now. You know, when you went to the DH, obviously, you know, we're going to score more runs.
Raising the mound a little bit in
right.
the 60s.
All kinds of deals to tweak it, you know. And then, of course, here lately in the last couple of years, you know, we've got a universal DH. So all those records in the National League for runs scored and hits in a season, all those are going to change over a short period of time. And the game, I don't know if this bat is going to revolutionize anything. We'll have to see what the long run is on this, at least for, you know, half a season. What does it look like? What does it look like at the end of the year? But it's still a strikeout home run game. There is no strategy in today's game. When you take away the bunt and the hit and run and moving runners over strategically, you're just looking for guys to get base hits and then somebody to hit a three-run bomb. To me, I don't like the structure of the game today because it makes the defense sit back and feel very comfortable. And if you're going to rile things up, you got to stir things up.
All right. Moving on to legal cheating, to illegal cheating. We saw that Profar, 80 games for PEDs. And so my question to all three of you is why? I mean, you know you're going to get caught. Why risk it?
Well, I think he it was so weird because he had to know it was coming. And he said he got tested 8 times last year and then they didn't catch it. But he had an 11-year career and he posted astronomical numbers last year. And then the Braves gave him a huge contract because of it. Like, the Braves had to know. Like, he already got he got his money, but the Braves had to know that there was something shady or sketchy going on.
Yeah, my opinion of it is that if you want to play on the fence – knowingly that at some point in time, you know, you're playing with fire and you're eventually going to fall off on the other side. And he fell off on the other side. And now it's a matter of saying, you know, I feel bad for the Atlanta Braves. Really do. You know, he's let himself down. He's let his teammates down. You know, he had I think he came from San Diego, was it not?
Yes.
And, you know, he had a real terrific opportunity for him to, you know, get off to a good start and play with a team that could very well be in tension. But Atlanta's terrible right now. They haven't won a game in the first week of the season. And Acuna, their best player, you know, hasn't returned from his last season's injury. And they do have a studded lineup. They can't score any runs. They can't beat anybody. You get this far behind, it's not going to be an easy thing to turn around because the other teams in front of you are, gaining space. And anytime you have to jump over four teams as opposed to one, it makes it harder.
Wasn't Profar, is it Profar Jurgensen? Yeah, last year, wasn't he like one of the last to sign to go back to the Padres last year? It was either late in spring training, if not, you know, something must have been going on, and I think they finally signed him, and he had that terrific year, knowing. But, you know, you do it once, you're going to do it twice. You're going to do it twice, you're going to do it three times. And eventually, yes, you're going to get caught. And the 80 games is the 80 games. I wish the best for him. I think he's just got to look at himself in the mirror and say, hey, we can't do this any longer if you want to continue, you know. And he had that nice contract. So, and again, like everybody else said, the Braves right now, look at last night what they did going back to the bunt. No one's bunting or moving runners on last night's game, the Dodger game. They did it. And they went ahead, and I think that I forgot who the hitters were, but they lay down two, and they were successful. So, you know, but that was outstanding to see a team trying to do that in a game, you know, knowing that the long ball is what everybody else wants. So, anyway, that's my feed.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I mean, obviously, you want to be, you know, successful as possible when so many millions and millions and millions of dollars are at stake. But, you know, he's already made plenty of money throughout his career. But what we've seen, though, before, both in sports and in life in general, sometimes, you know, more is more, and everybody wants more. Stick around, you guys. We're going to talk more. We got a lot of things to talk about. We're talking about the Dodgers' hot start. Of course, we're going to get our NCAA picks, both in men and women, and a lot more. Stay with us. We'll see about that with the champion, the legend, the MVP, Ron Say. I am Mike Gary with Corey and Steve. Stay with us.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738.
That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron
Say. And we are back. We'll see about that with Ron Say. Make sure to check out his fantastic book, Penguin Power, available wherever you find your books. Also available on Amazon.com and on Ron's website, theronsayshow.com. I am Mike Airy, joined by Steve and Corey Marino. And let's talk about, we here live in Los Angeles, Ron's former team, one of Ron's former teams, the Los Angeles Dodgers, off to one of the hottest starts you can imagine. Earlier in the week, we saw Shohei Ohtani walk it off, undefeated as we record the show right now. Last week, Ron, you talked about, you know, the hunter versus the hunted, you know, which is more difficult. And, you know, I always, you know, I agreed with you. I thought it's a little bit tough to keep that kind of momentum going when every team is looking at you. And Steve brought in this great stat, too, where the gate's like $4.5 million so far.
Well, according to what I got from the newspaper, I think it was, or online, this is the top 10 teams and what they have in revenue each game at the gate, gate only. It has nothing to do with concessions or anything like that. The Dodgers obviously lead it, $4.29 million. The Yankees are second at 4.11. Cubs are third, 3.25. Red Sox, 2.93. All the way down to the Mets, where it's 1.93.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell the excitement. You know, I live 15 minutes away from the stadium, and I see a lot of Dodger jerseys. Corey's wearing one right now. So, Ron, what do you make of this hot start?
Well, I mean, look, they have purchased the best team in baseball, and there's no denying that, and they're making a lot of money from it. You know, they had a tremendous start to the season. Going to Japan and playing in front of the city of Tokyo, 38 million people, the largest city in the world, and it's got Dodger banners and all the the giant player, or excuse me, Japanese players, a number of them on their club. So I think that relationship's working pretty good. But they're expected to win. I'm sure that the fan base, the ownership, the front office, the players expect to win. And I don't think that it's any secret. They expect to be the world champions. If they fail, it's going to be disappointing. Simple as that. They cannot afford, well, they can afford to go, yes, because there's going to be other teams that are going to be buying for that spot. And there's a number of capable teams, just like the San Diego Padres. You know, they're undefeated too at this moment, and they're in the same division.
Yeah.
But we'll have to see. But yeah, World Series a bust. You can't look at it any other way. They designed it that way. They talk that way. The media talks that way. Lines up that way. Therefore, it should be. And if it doesn't happen, I think it's going to be disappointing to a lot of people.
Yeah, I agree it would be disappointing. And they are undefeated at the time of this broadcast. But the funny thing is that the acquisitions, the money they spent on, have all been pretty bad. So Blake Snell has had six earned runs. Or no, he had five the last
They're
game.
They're all unearned, yes.
These were all unearned. Yeah. But he's escaped without two losses in games they were down. And that was the thing about this win streak is they've been behind in most of them. And despite missing three of their pitchers for their high-leverage people like Kopech, Gratterall, and Evan Phillips, Tanner Scott they brought in, he was supposed to be – he's their closer, and he has three saves, but he's let up a run in three of four save opportunities. And Sasaki hasn't even got past the second inning in both of his starts. Hasn't cost him any games, but it's pretty amazing that even the acquisitions, even though they're struggling, they're still finding ways to win games. There's a couple cool stats. Will Smith has started the 2025 season by recording a hit in six straight games.
Yeah, he's batting .450.
This is the third season in a row that Will Smith has done this. He's the first player in Dodger history to have a hit in the first six games in three consecutive seasons.
Wow. Good for him.
Yeah, he always, and that's the thing with him. He starts hot, and then he gets beat up behind the plate. And by the end of the season, he's not the man he was in March, April, and May.
We're also seeing that Mookie Betts, the newly svelte Mookie Betts, who lost over 20 pounds of norovirus. Any of you guys ever had norovirus before?
No.
Have not.
No.
It's not great. Stay off a cruise.
that means you have?
Yeah, I have. It's not great. He's changed positions this year, correct?
Yes, playing shortstop.
How hard is that, Ron? I mean, you played third base most of your career, but I'm sure you've probably, you know, been asked to dabble in other positions.
Yeah, keep him in the outfield.
Yeah.
Keep him in the outfield. Please, just keep him in the outfield.
Now, I want to probe this just for a second. What sort of, like, what's the different, like, you know, what kind of skills, what kind of mindset do you need to have going from outfield to infield and vice versa?
Daryl Thomas was a utility infielder, outfielder, many, many hats. The best I ever saw it doing that. It takes a special breed to be able to do that. Mookie Betts is best in the outfield. We have plenty of capable – they have plenty of capable players, Rojas in particular, that is probably their best fielding position player in the infield. And I would say leave him there. You know, you've got plenty of bats in the lineup. Freddie Freeman hasn't played much, slipped in the tub, something happened, hurt himself, hasn't gotten, you know, off to – you know, a good start with his health, but he has performed in the games that he's played. You know, the Dodgers have everything clicking in the moment, and you know, it's working their way. Sasaki didn't have a great outing, couldn't throw the ball over the plate, was out of there after an inning and two thirds, and you know, it wasn't something that you want to rest your hat on. So we'll see. They're, you know, they're going to have a lot of starting pitchers. It's going to be a long season. They're going to get lots of rest. They should perform. They should win. You know, we have a situation in it's only the first week of the season, and we talked about competitiveness in baseball. Well, the most competitive division in baseball is the American League Central. Hmm. And you know why? Because every team at an earlier date in this week was tied for first. All five teams tied for first with a record of 2-4. Right. Okay? Right. That's not going to work very well.
Two more things I just want to talk about with the Dodgers before we hit this next break. Semi-friend of the show, Max Muncy, who I like because he's got a great baseball name. He's had a tough start of the season and a tough last year. The Dodgers seem loaded with talent. What do we think they're going to do with Max Muncy, and what does Max Muncy need to do to himself to get back in the swing of things?
Who wants a shot at that before I have it?
Okay. Yeah, he didn't look too good last night again. Two errors cost him a lot of runs. He's got to do better. He's not hitting, as everybody knows. He really hasn't performed. He hits home runs or he strikes out. That's about as far as it goes. Has a lot of walks, I should say that too. But his batting average has never been, what, more than a 235, 240, something like that? I'm not
That's
sure.
That's a big year.
Yeah, I understand. That's not great, you know. I think his better position was back at first, but you can't, you know, you can't get rid of Freeman. So, you know, what do you do? They got options. They could put Kiki back at third, you know, and keep him out for a few days. You know, it's tough. I think that's one position. They actually, what they do miss is the guy sitting right over here.
They sure do.
Mr. Say.
Sure. Listen, I'm 77 years old. I am well past my prime. However, I wouldn't mind sitting in because I could strike out just like the rest
well,
of them.
Well, we just found out that the base salary, the average salary is $5 million. I mean, you can come back and do something for
that's
$5
right.
million,
oh,
right?
My God.
Corey, real fast, what do you think?
Yeah, he's just struggling. And when he's not walking, he strikes out way too much. And I just think we'll see how long of a leash that Dave Roberts gives him. And I think, yeah, like you said, we have enough bats, and maybe that's what Dave Roberts is thinking, and maybe he's been on, I think he's the second longest tenured Dodger, so other behind Kershaw or something along those lines. So maybe they don't want to get rid of him because it would kill the clubhouse vibe and people's attitudes, but if we keep winning, it doesn't really matter.
They should put Muncy and Kershaw's locker next to each other and call that the dead weight corner.
Well, my feeling is that if he doesn't pick it up here pretty soon, he's going to play himself out of a position. There's really no other way than looking at it. You can't be a defensive liability, and you can't be an offensive liability. And right at this point in time, I would say early in the season, he's both. So it's a matter of whether or not he's going to have a continued opportunity to do that, or if he's going to be a platoon player or whatever else they decide to play. So, yeah, it's – It's not a comfortable position for him, if you remember, in the World Series. And this is not to necessarily bring up, you know, old news, but he went the entire series without getting a hit. He's 0 for 17 and 11 punch-outs. So to begin this season off kind of on the same note, you know, he struck out 21 of the last 38 times he played. That's going to keep you out of the line.
Just for perspective, Tony Gwynn, in I believe 1993, only struck out 58 times the entire season. Last thing about the Dodgers here, what did we think about the opening day jerseys with the gold lettering?
Oh, another hype. You know, just go online. You'll see the uniforms are there for sale. The hats are for sale. You know, I mean, this is just another thing just to put money in their pockets, as far as I'm concerned, you know, and it's working.
So they've tried to, when they win the championships, they tried to do a new jersey design. And in 2020, I actually liked that one. It had just a gold, a faded gold trim around the Dodgers logo and then a little patch. And I just didn't. I thought it was okay, but the longer I look at it, the worse it gets.
Stick to the classic look. Stick to the classic look, please.
Yep.
100%. Those uniforms, yeah. Hated them. Absolutely hated them. Actually, I thought the entire ceremony, I don't know, I'm a Yankees fan, but like I thought the entire ceremony was a little bit garish and gaudy.
Oh. Really?
I thought that the Ice Cube situation.
The lowrider?
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Well, I don't know. And the ring looks a little bit gaudy, too. But, hey, what am I to say?
It's entertainment, baby.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
That's entertainment, folks.
It is.
You see Ice Cube's getting his own bobblehead?
I did see that.
Oh, no, not really.
Ice-T is. Yeah, it's on the schedule.
Also saw that the Shohei Ohtani bobbleheads that were given out to fans are now going for $1,400 a piece on eBay. We'll be right back, guys, for more talk about baseball and sports in general. We'll see about that with the legend and MVP, World Series champion Ron Say. I'm Mike, Gary Cormorino, and the good old Steve. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Have you heard? Kohl's has two exclusive new home brands, Miryana and Mingle & Co. From luxe favorites that are all about turning your space into a sanctuary to fun mix and match dining essentials, there's so much to discover. And trust me, you're gonna love everything. Plus, you can get an extra 20% off throughout the store during our friends and family sale. So hurry to Kohl's today and bring it all home for less. Select styles, some exclusions apply. Offer ends April 6th. See store or kohls.com for details.
Are you a fan of paranormal radio? Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, hauntings, cryptids, true crime? After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez airs live on Sports Byline every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, talking all manner of the strange and unusual. From the latest news of the weird to interviews with the top names in the field, After Dark is your source for paranormal radio. Check it out, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, every Wednesday, live on Sports Byline USA.
Barbecue season is back.
Hey, it's Ellen.
And this is Sarah Beth.
And a little thing we love about the Chick-fil-A Smokehouse Barbecue Bacon Sandwich is that zesty barbecue sauce. I love that it was a little sweet, a little tangy, and with the mac and cheese,
I feel like I tasted the brown sugar bacon first. It was the absolute best combination. Pro tip, 3 sandwiches are always better than 1.
Order the Smokehouse Barbecue Bacon Sandwich and our Coca-Cola on the Chick-fil-A app for a limited time. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
Spending is out. Loud budgeting is in. Finding more affordable ways to do the things you love is one of the growing trends on social media, and Metro by T-Mobile can help. Whether you're planning to invest your tax return, save it, spend it, or a combination of the three, you can improve your financial situation in 2025 with tips from finance expert Carlos Garcia.
Create a budget for 2025 using the 50-30-20 rule. 50% of your money goes to needs, 30% to wants, and 20% to savings and investments. Automate your monthly bills and your monthly savings. Split your bills for maximum savings with a family phone plan. Metro is offering new customers 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 phones and 4 lines for $100 with no ID required. That brings your phone bill down to $25 per person each month.
With Metro, customers enjoy perks like $5 movie tickets, 15% off Hilton stays worldwide, a free subscription to MLB TV, and Scam Shield protection, all powered by the nation's largest 5G network. Please visit metrobytmobile.com. Sponsored by Metro by T-Mobile.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo! GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
The fans are rooting for the Dodgers.
And we are back. We'll see about that. I'm Mike Airy, and this week in Dodger history, presented by BFF Financial, 1974, the Indians trade the great Pedro Guerrero to the Dodgers for pitcher Bruce Ellingson, who appeared in only 16 games for the Cleveland Indians, as they were known at the time, in his only year in the majors. 17-year-old infielder, outfielder, Guerrero, that is, would compile a 309 batting average, becoming a five-team All-Star during his 11 seasons with aforementioned Dodgers. Pedro Guerrero, always liked him as a kid.
Pedro Guerrero, a terrific hitter, ended his career with a 300 batting average, which puts him in the one percentile. And, yeah, there's not like 10,000 at-bats there, but, look, he had 6,000 at-bats or something like that. He was a terrific hitter, and you know, I wish him well. He's one of those World Series MVPs that we had back in 1981, and Bruce Ellingson I also played with. He's an old Dodger farmhand, and we played a number of minor league games together. So good luck to both of those guys.
Absolutely. So right now we're going to use this opportunity, because we are flying solo this week, no guest. I'm going to ask Ron some questions. We're going to do a little lightning round questions here about Ron's career and playing days, and if the gentleman here in the peanut gallery wanted to comment, keep your comments brief. All right, so here we go. Number one, Ron, you were a key part of legendary Dodgers infield in the 1970s. What made that group so special?
We were homegrown, number one. We had an opportunity to really get into our game together. We spent a lot of time together. You know, Tommy Lasorda was, you know, a workhorse with us all. We were all under his wing, and, you know, the primary thing that I think that made all this work is the talent was there, the work ethic was there, we stayed healthy.
Absolutely. Speaking of Lasorda, you played under Tommy, one of baseball's most iconic managers, and also adept at never picking up a check. Well, give us a brief favorite Tommy story.
Oh, my God. You know, I don't know if I can sum it up in a story, because there's just so many, but, you know, I was very fortunate to have a guy who was on my side of things. You know, he fought for me. He worked really hard for me. He worked with us very hard. We spent a lot of time together. And, you know, I had the fortune of playing for two Hall of Fame managers in Los Angeles, the great Walter Alston and Tommy Lasorda. And, you know, they were opposites in personality, but they all did a great job.
Fun fact about Tommy Lasorda, he fronted a restaurant that was open in my hometown that was closed down a year later because of a vermin infestation. true story. 1981, World Series, huge moment for you and the city at large. What do you remember about that championship run?
You know, it was a culmination of a number of years of coming close. You know, we'd played in four World Series. We lost there was a shot in all of them, actually. You know, we played three really tough one-run games, I think, in 74 against Oakland. We had a shot in 77 until the final game when Reggie Jackson had, you know, a career day in the World Series. 78, we lost that series by way of an interference call that kind of changed the momentum of the
phantom
whole thing.
Phantom interference
call.
Yeah,
phantom interference, yeah. That's what they look at it as. There was no instant replay, so, yeah, we had to eat it right there. And in Yankee Stadium. Which hurt
the badly. Old Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, that hurt real bad. That's my defining moment of really things that was the worst loss I ever had in professional sports or sports period. That was it.
But it still doesn't bother you anymore.
It doesn't bother me anymore. I've worked on it. I've worked well past it, as you can tell.
Yeah, years of therapy.
Yeah, what is it, 44 years now? But the culmination of all of our work and effort came in 1981. We were able to finally bring the World Series Championship Trophy back to Los Angeles. And the first four hitters in that lineup, and it would be the last game that they would play together, was the infield. Davey Lopes, Bill Russell, Steve Garvey, and myself.
Speaking of the 81 World Series, you were named co-MVP of that World Series. First of all, I believe it's only the second time in MLB history that the MVP award has been shared. Were you like, this is great, or like, come on, man, give me my own MVP. What's going on here?
I thought it was great that we'd share it. You know, it gave us an opportunity to, you know, have something really special for all of us happen, but we got to share it a little bit more. It was, once again, we had been together for quite some time, and it was appropriate based on the dominance that we had. and the teams that we had to play, the Big Red Machine, the 1976 version of the Big Red Machine was the best team I ever saw in Major League Baseball. But, yeah, it was great, and I'm glad we could do it before Davey was to depart. And actually, the infield played one more year together, and we brought in Steve Sachs to take Davey Lopes' position.
Interesting. You were known for power at third base, 317 home runs. What adjustments did you make to stay consistent at the plate?
I think I just, you know, was able to understand, you know, where my boundaries were, what was expected. You know, my primary responsibility to the Dodgers was to drive in runs. Davey Lopes' primary responsibility was to score runs, and we did that however we could do it as best. And I needed him to score runs, and he needed me to drive him in. And we had a relationship as well when he was on first base, as an example. I would let him run early in the count, no matter what. I'd let him go. Much rather have him because he down at second base than first base. It's much easier to score. And he had like an, what is it, an 88 percentile success ratio. So, yeah, I'm going to let him run.
There you go. Who is the toughest pitcher you've ever faced?
Matter of style, more so than success. Kent Tekulve threw for him the shoe top, and he was 6'5 and lanky. And when he was young, he threw hard, and he had a rubber band arm, as they used to say. And he was pitching frequently, and his sinker ball came in and just kind of dove back in on my hands a lot. I tried everything possible. I tried to move up in the box, back in the box, in on the plate, away from the plate. None of them worked. I was always uncomfortable. I had more success against him than I had against others, but I just never felt comfortable.
What'd you think of Bob Gibson?
Bob Gibson, I did okay with. Hall of Famer. I beat him with a home run in St. Louis in the bottom of the eighth. I hit a two-run home run off him that won the game 3-1. And then there was another game in St. Louis that I chased him at a bases-loaded double that took him out of the ball game. And Bob had a reputation, a very tough reputation.
I was about to say, after those two, when you chased him and when you, you know, walked him off, did he give you some chin music?
No, he didn't, because, you know, I'd already, you know, I've established myself. Wasn't really about, a rookie or something, showing him up. But I did do, out of respect, when I chased him with the double, I stood at second base and I did not look anything else towards I looked straight away at center field, and I didn't look back in until he'd left the mound.
Smart, very smart, very smart.
Yeah.
What were some of your favorite ballparks to play in besides Dodger Stadium? And then these guys, I want to ask you. You know, you guys never played in a ballpark, you know, a Major League Stadium, but what are some of the most beautiful ballparks you guys have seen?
Well, I enjoyed playing in San Diego, the old ballpark. I just felt that, you know, the atmosphere, the weather, temperature, the whole thing was, you know, conducive. I enjoyed hitting there. Cincinnati was great because of our rivalry. They had 55,000 crazy lunatic fans yelling everything at you, and they had the same thing waiting for them when they came to Dodger Stadium, and it was like a playoff game playing against them, because we knew, and by fact, you know, that the road to the World Series was through the National League West, and we had the two best teams in baseball, regardless of whether there was a world championship that was won by the American League. I felt we had the two best teams in baseball in the same division, and only one of them back then, because of the alignment for playoffs, would go forward.
Yeah.
I've been to several, but the ones that I just wrote down just out of my head here is Wrigley Field, just because it's so compact, as well as Fenway Park, and the fans are so great in those stadiums. They're just there, and boy, they don't care if they win or they lose. They just show up every single day, and it's the hometown feeling. I got the same feeling, to be honest with you, in Yankee Stadium. But the Yankee Stadium is almost
old. Yankee Stadium or new Yankee Stadium? The new one.
No.
Wrigley Field has a special place because I also played there for 4 years, and we won a divisional title, which was something that the fan base in Chicago hadn't seen for 39 years at that point in time, and we gave them another reason to come to Wrigley Field and sit in the bleachers besides drinking beer.
Yeah.
And it was a delight. Dodger Stadium is my favorite. And I also got to play in Taj Mahal, which is Yankee Stadium. Won a world championship there. My first time that I set foot in Yankee Stadium was the 1977 All-Star Game, and I was starting third baseman in that game. So, you know, we had, I think Willie Mays was our, my guy was our honorary captain, and Joe DiMaggio was the Yankee captain. Yeah, so it was a great time.
Yeah, I haven't been to many. Dodger Stadium's fantastic. The new Padres Stadium. I like the outfield with where you can sit with your family and enjoy the game, mm-hmm. like on the hills and stuff. Went there for one game, and they had this whole beer market, and it was really cool. And then I went to Arizona once, and I don't know if they got a new stadium, but was it called the Bob?
I believe so, yeah. With the fountain in the front in the mm-hmm. outfield.
That was young. That one was cool, but nothing beats Dodger Stadium.
I disagree. I think that Dodger Stadium is a little bit too brutalist design for me. I know that's a controversial take. I really liked Camden Yards. I thought Camden Yards was really cool, and I have a interesting take too. I liked the Kingdome because I thought it was kind of cool to when you're sitting there watching a baseball game and you can hear the rain pouring on the roof.
Lovely.
Okay, that's
lovely. All right, we got 2 minutes left. Nice. Let's do a couple more here real fast. We know how you feel about today's analytics-driven approach to baseball, so we'll skip that one. If you were playing today in today's MLB, Ron, how do you think your game would translate? How many home runs would you have if you were playing in this game? I would say 580.
No torpedo bat.
I think I'd make a lot more money.
That would probably to say the least.
My biggest contribution is that I'd be, I don't want to go too far out on a limb, but yeah, I think I would have prospered. I think our game would have prospered in today's game. I think we would have caused havoc with our team in today's game because we actually played the game strategically and we used the elements of the game that are now missing. So, yeah, it would be a different game, but it would be interesting to see how that would possibly translate, but we will never know about that.
Okay, last but not least, say you were playing in today's game. If you could pick one teammate from the Dodgers to play in that game right now, who would it be?
Well, not a teammate necessarily, but came from the same organization. And I would have loved to have had Koufax and Drysdale on my team and Tommy Davis have a few of those guys and some of the old timers. I would have loved to have gone back and played in Ebbets Field with Gil Hodges and Campanella and Reese and Robinson and Snyder and the rest of them, Newcomb and Erskine, Clem Labine. Yeah, that would have been a ball.
That sure would have been fun.
That would have been a lot of fun.
I think it would have been fun to play with Mickey Mantle off the field.
I'd have loved to play with Mickey Mantle, too. I wouldn't mind playing against him, either.
But not playing against him off the field, though. That's for sure.
That's for sure. I don't want to play that game.
Yeah. All right, stick around, you guys. We're going to wrap things up to have a little NCAA talk right after the break. We'll see about that. Thank you very much to Corey and Steve, and, of course, to the legend, or champion, and co-MVP, Ron Say. Stay with us.
This is baseball's Ron Say. Nowadays, it seems like nothing is built to last. Phones, appliances, cars, computers, but the new Michelin Defender 2 tire is designed to outlast. With a quiet and comfortable ride, you will have the confidence you need on the roads, whether they're wet or dry. So goodbye to the short-lived and hello to something that lasts. Get your set of Michelin Defender 2 tires at Hank's Tires, 19951 Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills. Call my buddy Steve Goldberg at 818-340-4200. That's 818-340-4200. Hank's Tires is also built to last. Hank opened Hank's Tires in 1953, and we are the oldest tire and auto repair shop in the San Fernando Valley with 100% customer satisfaction. Hank's is AAA approved for all of your auto repair needs. Call Hank's Tires at 818-340-4200 and tell them Ron Say sent you.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America,
America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
And we are back. We'll see about that last segment. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure to check out the podcast wherever you find your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, also on Ron's website, theronsayshow.com. And Ron, you are on Instagram.
I am. And I'm also on Cameo. If you have special requests, you can reach me there. But yeah, Cameo website, yeah, it's all available. Come visit it.
There you go. And let's wrap things up, talk about the NCAAs. We have the Final Four set for both the men's and the women's. Corey's bracket is untouchable at this point. Tell us about your bracket, Corey.
Yeah, I didn't watch much college basketball this year, so kind of went a little chalky, and it ended up working for me. Out of like they say it's like 24.4 million. I'm tied with like 30 to 40 other guys at 109th in the nation.
Wow! So if you're you're betting with Corey, you're making money. All right, let's get our picks. Let's start with the men's. Ron, we'll start with you and go around the horn. Final four set: Auburn versus Florida, Duke versus Auburn and versus Houston, I believe,
right,
and Duke versus Florida.
Okay, I like Florida over Auburn. Although I was impressed with the way that Auburn finally got back in it, they beat a very good Michigan State team. I like Florida. Duke and Houston, the winner of this game is going to win it all for me. And I can see Houston winning this game. I think Duke has the most talent. It's going to be a very close game. I think your pick is Duke. I actually think that there's a possibility for an upset here.
Okay, Steve, Duke, Houston, and Auburn, Florida.
Okay, well, the dark horse for me is Auburn. I did pick Duke, to be honest with you, over Florida. I think all four of these teams, or any one of them, can win. I'm going to stick with the Duke prediction. And my dark horse is going to be Auburn.
Corey, real fast.
All right. I have Florida over Auburn, and I have Houston over Duke.
Okay. I have Duke. And real fast, gentlemen, the women's, we have UCLA versus UConn, South Carolina v. Texas. Ron, real fast.
I'm looking for Texas, although I think South Carolina. Sometimes when I do these, it's a bet of who I would like to see win rather than who I would bet on. And in this case, that's similar. I'd like to see Texas win. I think the winner of UCLA-UConn is going to win it all. I think UConn right now is the best team. I would not be surprised if the number one overall seed UCLA and Corey Close pull it off. But, yeah, I would like to see one of those two.
Yeah, we're out of time, so I'm just going to throw mine in. I want to see UCLA, but I think it's UConn. We're out of time, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. We'll see you guys next week. We'll see about that.